This hour of the Jeff Horvitz Show brought to you by Nemarco's Pizza with three locations in Flagstaff.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Horvitz Show. I'm Mark Howitt, your host for this 5 o'clock hour on a gorgeous Friday afternoon in Flagstaff. Spring in Flagstaff is absolutely amazing. All of northern Arizona. Sometimes it gets a little windy up here, but wow, it's really just been beautiful. We went from snow to springtime and actually able to wear shorts outside. Of course, I've taken advantage of this to go skiing with my kids on these spring snowball days, getting some runs in with my little kids. Great thing to do. Hey, there's a lot going on in Arizona. All week there's been talk about the Arizona bill or law that was reinstated, basically outlawing almost all abortion in Arizona. Supreme Court decided that the law that was passed in the 1800s but was on the books and in effect until 1973 when Roe v. Wade was passed by the Supreme Court, or actually Roe v. Wade was the hearing before the Supreme Court. And in that, the Supreme Court in 1973 basically decided that abortion would be legal in all 50 states. Up until that point, it was a states' right issue. In New York, for example, abortion was already illegal. In Arizona, it was basically completely illegal. And so when the Dobbs decision was handed down by the Supreme Court, a lot of laws that were on the books were automatically reinstated in each state, laws allowing or disallowing abortion. Here in Arizona, more recently, the legislature had passed a ban on abortion after 15 weeks, but there was already a bill that was in effect until 1973, right up until Roe, that basically outlawed all abortion in Arizona, except in the case of the life of the mother being in danger, which I think is a reasonable, very reasonable exception. If you're out on the street and someone threatens your life, you have a right to take their life. You know, if someone's attacking you with deadly force, you have a right to respond with deadly force. Likewise, if a mother is being threatened mortally by the life developing in her, then I think an abortion is a reasonable thing in that case. For example, an ectopic pregnancy where the child won't survive anyway, it threatens the life of the mother. In such a case, yeah, abortion would be reasonable. Anytime that the life of the mother is truly threatened, not just because she's pregnant, but really threatened, such as an ectopic pregnancy, seems like that is a reasonable exception. And that's what the law in Arizona was before Roe v. Wade. And now it's about to be that again in 14 days. There was and is a movement at the legislature to basically overturn that. And there's also, looks like there's going to be on the ballot, an option to amend the Arizona Constitution to allow abortion at any point. Now, the people putting forward this constitutional amendment are saying it's only up until 24 weeks. But here's the thing. They're allowing abortion for all kinds of reasons after that 24 weeks. It could be the health of the mother. That includes the mental health of the mother and the emotional health of the mother. And it doesn't even require a real doctor to sign off on that. So basically, this group that is putting forward this constitutional amendment basically wants to open wide the doors to abortion at any point here in Arizona. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Hopefully people will not be fooled by it thinking that it's just up until 24 weeks, because that is not what it is. It opens the floodgates wide by allowing for a medical person, not necessarily a doctor, to say, this might make you a little sad if you carry this child to term, or might give you a little anguish mentally, and all of a sudden you can get an abortion right up until the 9th month. Absolutely ridiculous. I hope everybody, if it does get on the ballot, which it looks like it's gonna, I hope everybody will just stand against it and oppose it and vote it down and say, hey, we are a state that is for life, not for death. All right, it seems like it's been a long time since Monday when the world was gonna end at the annular solar eclipse. And obviously the world did not end. Didn't end then, didn't end with COVID, didn't end with Y2K, and probably is not gonna end tomorrow. Yeah, it could end for any individual person. Anybody could die tomorrow or even today, but the world is not going to end tomorrow. It's going to go on for a little bit longer. The speculation around what the eclipse meant was pretty big. And I want to point out a couple things that a lot of people missed. And that is the eclipse actually coincided with the biblical new year this year. So the eclipse is on a new moon, as it is always, because the moon passes in front of the sun. And the new moon in the Bible and in ancient calendars marked the start of a new month. And this month happens to be the first month in the biblical calendar, first month of the year. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, God told them, this month, this spring month, is to be the first month of your year. And so when the solar eclipse happened on Monday, that was the first day of the biblical month for the year. And on the 14th day of this month, when the full moon happens, that's going to be Passover. And that's going to be April 22nd, starts at sundown. Christians and Jews celebrate God bringing the Jewish people out of Egypt and how that symbolizes the death and resurrection of Jesus, because he was the sacrificial lamb. So at Passover, back in Exodus, the Jews would sacrifice a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and God's death angel would pass over them, would not strike them, but he struck all the Egyptians and all those who didn't have the blood on the doorpost. Well, similarly, Christians believe that that symbolizes Jesus in that he died on the cross and his blood causes God's wrath to pass over us. And even Paul the Apostle in the book of Corinthians calls Jesus the Passover lamb. So Passover is coming up, April 22nd. That'll be the 14th day of the lunar month. And then for 7 days, those who celebrate Passover eat what's called unleavened bread or matzah. It's bread without yeast. And preparing for that, everybody searches their house that celebrates this holiday and looks for any product with yeast in it. And for me, I really enjoy doing this every year because it actually helps me clean out our pantry. You get, you know, a lot of canned goods and other things that kind of get stuffed to the back of the pantry and you forget about them and they're about to expire. But, you know, I take the time every year around Passover to go through the pantry, look for yeast, but it also is a time of cleaning out the pantry and saying, oh, that's about to expire. And we put it out on the counter and make sure it gets eaten before it goes bad. It's a good way to not clean out your pantry, not waste a little bit of spring cleaning, call it. So, you know, 7 days of eating unleavened bread, you know, tortillas are fair game, a lot of other things, but just bread without yeast, products without yeast. And it turns out there's yeast in all kinds of stuff. There's yeast extract, even in beef jerky a lot of times. It's amazing where the stuff's found. In the Bible, yeast symbolized sin, and the idea was this holiday reminds us to search out the sin in our lives and try to get rid of it, just like we were searching for the yeast in our homes and trying to get rid of that. So that's Passover. Interesting that the month started with an eclipse and an annular eclipse across the United States, which basically means it was a full eclipse. You get one of those somewhere in the world once or twice a year. Twice a year, you get some kind of eclipse and a partial eclipse, but a lot of those eclipses are over the ocean. You know, the world's about 70% water, and a lot of the eclipses happen over the ocean or over desert regions or areas where people really don't notice them. America's got hit with a lot of eclipses lately. We just had one back in October that was near full in Arizona. Really fun to look at and to show our kids, and you know, you can put on the special glasses, or I got out my welding helmet and looked at it. Does it mean the world's going to end? No, it's just an eclipse. You know, the sun is there and the moon passes in front of it and you have an eclipse. Okay, not a big deal. If you do want to read about the Exodus, look in the Bible under the book called Exodus. And if you want to learn more about the start of the new year, you can look in Exodus 12, chapter 12, verse 2. And that's where it says this month is to be the first month of your year, basically. Another interesting thing that happened in the Bible on the first day of the first month was that Noah and the ark, that's when the water dried up from the earth and Noah took off the covering off the top of the ark and saw that the ground was dry. That was also the first day of the first month. So we're just talking about how the eclipse that just happened last Monday was on the first day of the biblical new year. And a lot of things happened in the Bible in that. One of those things was Noah basically getting ready to come out of the ark. Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. Interesting stuff. All right, I want to shift gears here a little bit and talk about my Verizon bill. So I've had Verizon Wireless as my cell phone provider for a long time. And recently, I got a bill that was higher than normal. And so I looked into it, and they were raising my rate about $4 a month. And they were saying, hey, we need the money to keep up our good service, yada, 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 yada. And below that, they had a rate adjustment fee. So not only were they raising my rate monthly, but then they were charging me a fee to raise my rate. And I said, okay, that's just ridiculous. I don't care if it's a petty amount of money. It's ridiculous. You cannot charge somebody to raise their fee. just raise their fee if you're going to do that. Don't charge them a fee to raise their fee. Absolutely ridiculous. So I called up Verizon, and I've been with them for about 12 years. And, you know, if you live in Northern Arizona, you know they have the best coverage. And this is not a Verizon commercial. They're not one of our sponsors. But some of the other cell phone companies just don't get you as good a coverage up here in rural Arizona. And I've been with them for 12 years. And I called them up and said, hey, this is not cool what you're doing. And they did agree to bring my rate back down to what it used to be and to get rid of those silly fees. And while I was at it, I was looking at some of the other silly fees that you'll see on your cell phone bill. And one of them is the Federal Universal Service Charge. And you think, okay, this is the money the government's taking. Nope. If you think that, you are wrong. It is not money the government is taking. It is money the cell phone company is taking. The government, the feds, authorized them to have this extra fee that just goes to the cell phone company. And it says federal on it, but it's not a tax. It's just another way the cell phone company is extracting money for you from you for their pockets. And I get it. Inflation is everywhere. You know, the cell phone company wants to raise their prices. The cable company wants to raise their prices. But I'm just saying you don't necessarily have to take it. If you've been a faithful customer, a lot of these companies have retention programs where they basically say, hey, you've been with us a long time. We don't want to lose you. You know, if we're Verizon, we don't want to lose you to T-Mobile. If you're got this cable company, they don't want to lose you to the other one. Call them up and say, hey, there are options out there. What are you going to do to retain me as a customer? And negotiate. Everything's negotiable. Okay, so FUSD, Flagstaff Unified School District, is reporting much lower enrollment year over year over year. So as more and more people take advantage of the ESA program, where basically the backpack of money, or at least part of it, follows the student to whatever school they go to or even to homeschool, enrollment in the Flagstaff Unified School District, and I bet this is true in a lot of school districts around the state of Arizona, is declining. People are saying, hey, if I've really got a choice, if I can take the money that would be spent at my local public school and move that with my student to a private school or to homeschool, why shouldn't I do it? Why shouldn't I get the best education I can for my student? And so a lot of people are moving away from the public school system and into private schools or homeschooling and using the ESA funds for that. Now, the ESA might be in danger, as well as the state tuition organization tax credits. Right now in Arizona, both corporations and individuals can donate money to a private school and even name a student that it's supposed to help and write that off their taxes, not as a deduction, but as a full credit. So in other words, if you owed the government of the state of Arizona $500 in taxes, and instead you wrote $500 to one of the tuition organizations, such as Institute for Better Education, who would distribute it to a private school for you, you could then, instead of having that money go into the general fund of the state, that money gets redirected to that school. Doesn't cost you anything. It's tax you were going to pay anyway. And it's a great program. That STO, the State Tuition Organization tax credits, and the ESA may indeed be in danger this year. We're already seeing with the abortion issue that one of the Republicans is breaking rank. He's a Republican from the Tucson area, and obviously somewhat liberal. He's already breaking rank. And we got to remember that in Arizona, in the legislature, we have two houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives. And in each one, the Republicans are holding a majority by only one seat. Right now, it's 16 to 14 in the Senate, 16 Republicans to 14 Democrats. And in the House, it's 31 Republicans to 29 Democrats. If you flip one of those seats in each body, then it's a complete tie in each House. And if you flip two of the seats, then the Democrats have control. And we already have a Democrat governor. And so what I'm getting at is, with the budget being already rejected by the governor, the original one that the Republicans put forward, there's already been talk of nixing either the corporate STOs or perhaps something else in order to make the governor happy to sign the budget, because she is absolutely opposed to school choice and to allowing the money that would be spent on the student in the public school to follow that student to private school or to homeschool. And she's even said that if anybody's going to be eligible for the ESA, they should have to attend public school for 100 days. And why did she say this? Why did she say 100 days? Because that is when they measure how many kids are in the schools on the 100th day. And that implies how much each school will get for state funds, local funds, federal funds. All that is based on enrollment, and that happens on the 100th day. So the governor was being tricky. She was trying to say, hey, even though you've homeschooled your kids for their entire life, you're going to have to put them in public school for the first 100 days. And the reason was she wants them to be counted as public students, public school students, so that the public schools will get the funds that they shouldn't get, because that school, that student doesn't want to be there. The parents don't want them to be there. They want to homeschool them, or they want to have them in private school. But she's trying to take the money that we're all paying in tax to educate these kids and direct it away from the kids and into the public institution. And I think that's absolutely wrong. I've been paying property tax ever since I owned a home. Bought my first home back in the 90s. I think I was 21 years old, an entrepreneurial young guy. Got my first house and started paying property taxes right there. So funding the schools. And now that I have kids, why should the money that I've been putting into the system not follow my kids to the school or to homeschooling, wherever they get educated? Why should the public schools get money for students that they are not educating? And if anything, the public schools owe homeschooling parents back money for years and years and years, because all these homeschool parents have been saving the public schools so much money year after year after year, because the public school has not had to educate their kids and yet got the money as though they were educating those kids. I say let the money always follow the kid to whatever school they're going to. And people say, hey, would you support that if it was money following a kid to a Islamic school that was teaching Sharia law? Well, you know what? If the parent paying tax decides that's where they want to send their kid, then yes, the backpack of money should follow the kid to that school. I'm totally against Islam. I think it's a terrible religion. However, if that's the choice of the parent, then yes, the backpack of the money should follow the student to wherever they're getting their education. It should not stay in the public school if the student is not in the public school. And again, I'm going to say this whole system is in danger because we've got a couple of rhinos, at least one, and perhaps more down at the state capitol. That's a Republican in name only. This is why it's so important in the primary to pick the most conservative, consistently conservative candidate you can. Recently, both Donald Trump and Little Donald Trump, aka Carrie Lake, both came out saying that they support keeping abortion at the state level as far as making laws about it and not making any kind of federal law to protect life, and basically are backpedaling. Their backpedaling really shows that both of them don't have any strong position on abortion. We've known that about Donald Trump for a long time. He caters to the right. He himself is not known for being super right wing, but he caters to the right wing and he sees them as his supporters, but he also is trying to make moves to get elected. And those moves are basically showing his hand as far as he has no real moral standard about abortion. However, having said that, if it comes down to Joe Biden versus Donald Trump in the fall, which it looks like it will, I am going to vote for Donald Trump because I am going to pick, call it the lesser of two evils, or the one I know will appoint conservative judges. Because long after a president is out of office, the judges he appoints are still there. Donald Trump appointed a record number of conservative judges, but all that is being quickly undone by Joe Biden, who is appointing radically left judges, including his Supreme Court appointment in Justice Brown. A lot of people will tell you, I don't want to pick the lesser of two evils. Well, the reality is you've always been picking the lesser of two evils every time you vote. The Bible clearly teaches that all men have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So you're never going to find that perfect candidate. You're going to have one candidate that's worse than the other and one that's better than the other. So pick the one that's better. Look at the issues. Don't look at, oh, I don't like their personality, or I don't like their orange hair, or this or that. Look at what they stand for. Look at their track record. You know, we were all surprised by Donald Trump in his, when he got elected, we didn't think he would be that impressive of a guy to put forward the right-wing agenda. But he appointed so many conservative justices, got three very conservative Supreme Court justices. He managed to get at least four, it depends on how you count them. You could actually count a couple more peace treaties in the Middle East between Israel and her neighbors. Absolutely amazing. That's two more than all the other presidents combined. I mean, Jimmy Carter got one deal. Bill Clinton got one deal. Donald Trump got four Middle East peace deals between Israel and her neighbors. That's impressive. So don't just look at a person's personality or their track record in life, but look at what they actually get done. Look at the fruits of the tree, so to speak. What are they doing? Joe Biden has been an absolute disaster. He's gone from left to far, far left. Donald Trump went from left to supporting far, far right causes. whether he himself is right or not, including moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That was supposed to happen years and years and years ago, many presidents ago, but it kept getting put off. Everybody was saying, hey, the Middle East is going to explode if you move the embassy to Jerusalem. Well, Trump moved it, and guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing exploded. Nothing happened. And I'm glad he moved it there. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. After the break, I want to talk more about what's going on in Israel, the hostages that are still being held, including American hostages, and how both Joe Biden and John McCain's widow, Cindy McCain, are working against Israel and against progress in the war against terror there. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. I'm Mark Howitt. You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show. Going to be back right after this break.
Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
You've heard me talking with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management over the years, and I enjoy having him on the program because he's a wealth of information and knowledge, and plus he's, you know, a straight talker, easy to talk to when it comes to my portfolio, finances, what's going on in the economy. You want to have a one-on-one conversation with Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management, go ahead and call him right now. It's no obligation, doesn't cost anything. You can get a second set of eyes on your portfolio. Here's his number, Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474, 928-225-2474, or send him an email, gleest, that's G-L-E-E-S-T, gleest at WTWealthManagement.com. Last year, Angela and I called the Blind Brothers to get all new blinds in our home in Flagstaff, and man, did they do a great job. They came in, laid out all the options. We've picked a great set of blinds. Then they came back. They took out the old ones, did the installation. I highly recommend having the Blind Brothers do your installation. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Get up to half off the installation. That's in addition to any other advertised specials. Do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers, a great Northern Arizona company, at 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Horvitz Show. I'm Mark Howitt, your host on this Friday afternoon. I'm going to give you a quick update on what's going on in Israel and in Gaza with the hostages. As we all know, back on October 7th, Hamas and the Muslims from the Gaza Strip entered Israel and slaughtered brutally 1,200 or more people and took 253 hostages alive into Gaza and into their underground tunnels. Some of those hostages have been released, especially the elderly, the infirm, women and children. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, have confirmed the deaths of 34 of the remaining 129 hostages abducted by Muslim Hamas on October 7th. The rest of them, it is unclear what the status is. Many are suspected to be dead already, and the remaining live ones, the live hostages, are suspected to be in underground tunnels surrounding the leadership of Islamic Hamas. So in other words, they're going to be really hard to get to and are being used as human shields by these Islamic extremists. It's a really sad situation. What makes it worse is the Biden administration pushing Israel not to fully engage in this war. This war that was started by the leadership of the Gaza Strip. Got to remember that Hamas is the elected leadership, overwhelmingly elected by the people that live in Gaza to be their leaders, their government leaders. The government of Gaza attacked Israel and is continuing to attack Israel. They continue to fire missiles when they can, RPGs, all types of weapons at the Israelis. And yet you get these calls by the radical left to say Israel should unilaterally cease fire. That is absolute nonsense. When you are in a war and the enemy, especially when the enemy is continuing to attack you, You do not cease fire. You use every means to win the victory. If we look back at World War II, when the Germans invaded and the Allies had to flee the continent of Europe and ended up fleeing across into Great Britain, and the soldiers that survived were able to fight another day, the British did not target specifically enemy targets. Rather, they bombed at nighttime, and pretty much anything that was a building or lit up, didn't matter if it was a population center or what, it was getting bombed because the British knew, and as the Americans knew back then, you have to put pressure on the entire nation to get the leadership to surrender. It was the same thing with the Americans and bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We knew that the Japanese would not surrender unless we used absolute force in every way possible to defeat them, and that included bombing civilian centers. The case in the Gaza Strip is much different. Israel has actually held back and has given warning in advance to those living in buildings where Hamas was operating to flee before they bombed. Who does that? What country on earth tells their enemy where they're going to bomb in advance so that supposedly innocent civilians can flee? And what actually happens is Hamas gets to flee as well. Israel has been so restrained in this war. It's absolutely ridiculous what Israel has to do and has done in order to try to prevent excessive death in the Gaza Strip. Israel should be in a total all-out war. They should not be giving advance notice to their enemies that, hey, we're going to bomb here, bomb there. It's basically they're giving intelligence to Hamas because there's so much pressure on them not to harm anybody else in the Gaza Strip, even though the Gazans elected Hamas, support Hamas, fly Hamas flags, and will even harbor Hamas. It's absolutely ridiculous. Hamas is not this separate group from Gaza. It is Gazans. It is the people of Gaza. It is their military and government wing. It is the people of Gaza. You cannot separate the two. Meanwhile, we have people like Cindy McCain, who is now working for the UN. That's John McCain's widow. She's an anti-Trump, supposedly Republican, working for the UN. The UN in Gaza has been known to support Hamas. The UN is absolutely a disaster. In Israel, they call them the useless nobodies. That's what it stands for, UN. They really do support Hamas. It's terrible what they're doing. Everybody's crying out, including Cindy McCain, saying there's famine in Gaza, there's water shortages in Gaza. Yeah, that may be true, but you know what? There was famine in Germany in World War II, water problems, home problems, housing problems. You know why? Because they were at war with the Allies. And as long as Gaza is at war with Israel, holding Israeli hostages and American hostages, last I heard there's still four American hostages being held, forgotten by the Biden administration apparently. Absolutely ridiculous. You do not give your enemy that you're fighting a war with supplies. That only helps them to continue fighting against you. Anybody that would have supplied Nazi Germany with food, water, resources of any type would be considered an enemy combatant. You cannot do that. You are betraying your country if you do that, if you support the enemy. It's absolutely ridiculous what Cindy McCain and the left is doing in saying we need to get food to Gaza. If Gaza needs food, there's one simple solution. Let go of the Israeli hostages, stop firing on the Israelis, end the war, surrender, come out with your hands up and surrender. If the Gazans want to quit suffering, they need to put absolute pressure on their own leadership to let go of the Israeli hostages. The Israelis are doing everything they can to not harm civilians, even though those civilians support Hamas and declare that they want the death of Israel, that they want to wipe out Israel from the Jordan River all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. That's what they're talking about when they say from the river to the sea, Palestine should be free. They're saying get rid of the Jews, wipe out Israel, and let the Muslim Arabs take over all of the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Israelis did not start this war. They did not start the War of Independence back in 1940s, right after World War II, when the Arab nations that surrounded, without provocation, attacked Israel and almost drove them into the sea. The nation of Israel was only about 6 miles wide at one point. It's been time and again the Muslim aggression against the Jewish people. And this time, it's been an absolute disaster what has happened. Hamas and the Muslims invaded. And it wasn't just Hamas, these terrorist cell that came into Israel and slaughtered 1,200 people. It was your average person on the street that was given a gun and came in with Hamas and killed the Israelis, beheaded people, did horribly gruesome things. And even though the leaders of the world have been shown the videos of the horribly gruesome things that Hamas has done, they are still not standing up and saying Israel needs to just completely go all out war. They keep saying Israel should cease fire. It's absolutely nuts. It's intolerable to say this, that Israel should cease fire unilaterally. Absolutely crazy. We're all praying for the release of the hostages. Hopefully none of them will be killed that are currently alive. Obviously they're in bad condition. You know, they've been kept in underground tunnels, for sure not fed right or cared for. They're being used as human shields. It's time to say enough is enough. And it's time for the Biden administration to step up and help Israel unconditionally. Not only do we have Israeli hostages there, we've got four Americans over there that may or may not be alive at this point. In other Israel news, there's a major concern right now. As of this morning, there's a report that warns Iran could launch a major drone and missile attack within hours against Israel. Israel has been on high alert amid multiple threats and intelligence assessments that Iran would launch a strike on Israeli targets in a bid to avenge the April 1 airstrike on an Iranian consulate building in the Syrian capital of Damascus, which killed several Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commanders, including two generals. That is from the Times of Israel, and that is a report. Came in at 8:57 p.m. last night. The things are heating up between Iran and Israel. And Iran is the major sponsor of terror. They literally send weapons into Gaza, weapons into Syria, weapons into Lebanon, all for the purpose of attacking Israel. And why? Iran and Israel really share nothing in common. They're not next door neighbors. They're not on the same bodies of water. But Iran, they call Israel the small Satan, and they call America the great Satan. The Biden and Obama administration has literally given Iran billions of dollars, literally, in cash payments and in other monetary forms, literally funding Iran. Look back at what happened during the Obama administration. And Obama said, well, it's Iranian money. It belongs to them. Well, no. Again, going back to World War II, would the U.S. give the Nazi German government money that supposedly belonged to them that we were holding? Of course not. You wouldn't fund your enemy. But Barack Obama, President Obama, and President Biden have both funded Iran to the tune of billions of dollars. It's absolutely ridiculous. Trump took a hard line on Iran. Iran was suffering major economic devastation to them, and it was causing Iranians to reconsider what they were doing with their nuclear program. But under Obama and under Biden, it has gone full strength forward. And I would not be surprised. I really suspect that Iran already has a bomb. The question is not, could they have a bomb by now? The question is, can they produce a delivery system for that bomb? It's pretty simple once you have enriched uranium or plutonium to make a nuclear bomb, an atomic bomb, like we dropped on Hiroshima or Nagasaki. But those are really big. And the delivery system at that time, we dropped it out of a big bomber airplane. Iran can't just fly over Israel and drop a nuclear bomb or fly over America and drop one. They would need to get the thing smaller, more compact, and onto a delivery system in the form of a missile, possibly cruise missile, or possibly drone. But does Iran already have the ability to put together a nuclear bomb? Absolutely. Absolutely does. When we talk about nuclear bombs or atomic bombs, the names are somewhat interchangeable. Generally, when we say atomic bomb, we're talking about a nuclear bomb, a one that is a chain reaction caused by bringing too much uranium-235 together, creating a chain reaction, or plutonium. When we talk about a thermonuclear bomb, you basically wrap that atomic bomb in fusionable material in order to create a fusion bomb. So your basic atomic bomb is a fission bomb. It explodes by dividing atoms. So for example, the bomb over Hiroshima was about 20,000 tons of TNT equivalent, whereas a thermonuclear bomb can be in the millions of pounds of TNT equivalent. Okay, so what I'm saying is Iran probably has already a fission bomb or the ability to quickly put one together, which would be a Nagasaki Hiroshima type bomb. A thermonuclear weapon would take a little bit more work, but it's not such a big jump. We had those very quickly after creating the atomic bomb, and so did Russia. And actually, it was one of our people working on our program that spied for Russia and leaked it to them. Before this whole mess in Gaza started, one of my associates in Israel who works in the intelligence field over there said that Israel was planning to work with the Saudi Arabians for a possible strike against Iran. You got to remember, an enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So the Saudi Arabians are enemies with the Iranians. It's two different branches of Islam, and they are definitely enemies. The Israelis and the Saudis have typically not been friends, although in more recent times, they've been drawing closer together. And part of that is with the desire by both countries to put a stop to the Iranian atomic endeavors. There's also been talk about Israel helping the Saudi Arabians become nuclear. And initially, it would be for nuclear power, which obviously the Saudis do not need. They have plenty of oil they could burn. But the long-term goal would be to allow the Saudis to become a nuclear power as far as weapons. And I know that seems unbelievable. If you look, you can Google it, you can look it up. There's been talk about that, and that may continue to be a discussion, may even be a discussion continuing right now, despite the situation with Israel and Gaza. A lot of the Muslim nations surrounding Israel will supposedly support the Muslims in Gaza and in the West Bank, even though they have no desire to really actually help those people, nor to let any of them be refugees into their own countries, but they use them as leverage against Israel and as a thorn in Israel's side. So a lot of these countries like Saudi Arabia that really don't have a beef with Israel at all right now are putting talks on hold somewhat because of the situation in Gaza. You know, when you think about what countries does Israel really have a beef with around them? Well, you might say Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan, who currently occupy land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, the promised land. We should be talking about, instead of the West Bank being occupied, it's actually the occupied East Bank of the Jordan River. A lot of the country of Jordan, a lot of the country of Syria, and of Lebanon were part of the land God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the Jews, to the Israelites. But beyond that, why should Israel have any beef with anybody beyond those borders? Think about it. What should the Saudi Arabians, why should they be angry at Israel or the UAE or the Yemenites or the Iranians or the Iraqis? Why? There's no beef between these countries that should be there at all. They're not contesting land or airspace or even waterways. There should be peace between these countries. And former President Trump and his staff did a great job with the Abraham Accords. The United Arab Emirates were among the nations that would not even acknowledge the existence of Israel. And now you can actually take an El Al, an Israeli airline flight from Tel Aviv into the UAE, into the United Arab Emirates, and vice versa. That is absolutely groundbreaking. And part of the way that President Trump was able to pull that off was through a negotiation with the United States, in that the UAE wanted weapons to protect themselves from the threat from Iran and also from what's going on in Yemen. And so Trump agreed to give them F-35 airplanes. And a lot of times when we export our military aircraft, our F-15s or F-16s or F-35s, we'll give dumbed-down versions. We don't give them the full-tech package that we have in our own fleet. But anyway, that was part of the agreement, was to give them the F-35, which is essentially a short-range bomber fighter, definitely high-tech, to help them protect themselves. And in exchange, they made peace with Israel. It seems reasonable, although I'm not a big fan of exporting weapons at all. But if we do, I'm definitely saying we should export the dumbed-down versions, not the fully high-tech versions. Anyway, keep praying for Israel and pray for the hostages to be released. And when you vote this primary coming up and in the election in November, choose the candidate that has a policy history that you can stand by. And I believe Donald Trump has that policy history that I can stand by. He appointed conservative judges. He made good Middle East peace treaties. He applied tariffs to China to put pressure on them to trade fairly and to stop stealing from us. Look at the track record of the candidates, not at their orange hair or their lives, personal lives before they got in office that may have been messed up. There's no doubt Trump had a pretty messed up way of doing things in his personal life, and some say in his business life too. But look what he did as a president. Look what Biden's done as a president. Look what Obama did as a president. Choose wisely based on policy history. Okay, we got to take a quick break. I'm Mark Howitt on this Friday afternoon on the Jeff Orbit Show.
If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Doesn't this sound good? A T-bone steak, or how about a salt and pepper ribeye? Or maybe steak's not your thing. They've got chicken, they've got trout, salmon, pork chops, you name it. They've got great food at the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams. And plus, I love going on out to Williams. Love historic Williams and Route 66. The Rodeo Steakhouse is at 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard. It's right there by the Ramada Inn. By the way, get some great ribs as well at the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams. Hey, I got a great deal for you from ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. If you need to get your tile cleaned, your carpet cleaned, even fabrics on couches, things like that. Plus, the ductwork, your HVAC system, the ductwork, they will clean that as well. Oh, could you imagine all the stuff in there? ZeroResNorthernArizona.com, celebrating their third year in Northern Arizona with a 15% off promo code here on all services. Get 15% off. This is expiring pretty quick, though, so you better do it fast. 15% off with promo code CELEBRATE15. That's CELEBRATE15 when you go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com, ZeroResNorthernArizona.com, or give them a call at 928-378-8888.
If you've got a rock chip or even a crack in your windshield, check out our friends and faithful sponsors over at Diamond Auto Glass. They can quickly fix that chip, and hopefully it won't turn into a crack by taking care of that right away. Or if you got a crack like I do, they can take care of the whole windshield for you. Diamond Auto Glass and Flagstaff, the difference is clear. All right, we're just about out of time for today. I'm your host, Mark Howitt, on the Jeff Horovitz Show. Jeff will be back Monday with a fresh show. There's lots to talk about in the news. Obviously, the abortion issue in Arizona and where that's going to land as far as legislation and the implementation of the law that was in effect until 1973. We also had the death of O.J. Simpson. For those who remember that trial back in 1995, the murder trial, double murder trial, where he was found not guilty. Jeff will be back on Monday to talk about all the hot topics in the news, internationally, nationally, locally, here in Northern Arizona. Wishing everybody a great weekend. Stay safe out there and enjoy the warm weather.
The information provided on the Jeff Horovitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horovitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.